the underground bunker of the Civitas Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's Civitalk with your hosts, Brooke Medina and Ray Nothstein. We're here to connect culture with civics, making it relevant to your daily life. And dare we say, existence at a time where too many are triggered and offended. So, relax. But buckle up and let's wade into the deep end. What's really happening in your old North State?
Welcome to another edition of Civitalk. Sitting in for Brooke today is our policy analyst, and I know you've got a new title, Lee. I forgot it. I don't know if it's government affairs coordinator.
That's it.
But glad to have you on the episode. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Glad to be here, and I'm doing great.
So it feels like day 300 or something. I don't know. It just feels like a long time that we've kind of been in this quarantine or isolation or stay-at-home order from our governor. And I know a lot of people out there. One of the things I wrote about on our site was just the massive amount of people at Lowe's, Leah. It was crazy. And I'm not, again, picking on Lowe's, but I just thought it was interesting that there was just people kind of packed in there. And, you know, my thought was, and I wasn't the first to think this, of course, but if there can be so many people in there, you know, we should allow more small businesses and trust small businesses to open. But thinking about Lowe's too, it brings in mind the projects that are going on or just activities from this isolation or stay-at-home orders. What do you have going on in your life, Leah?
Yeah, so I think you're not alone on the Lowe's thing. I know that my parents live in a rural part of the state, and they went to Lowe's this past week and had the exact same experience. Could barely even find a parking spot. Yeah, but I rent my townhouse, so I don't have any home improvement projects going on. But I actually have taken up learning guitar over quarantine. I have a guitar for several years and played a little bit, but have had a lot more free time and time at home on my hands. So I'm not an expert by any means, but I'm happy, you know, with the progress I've made, and I enjoy it and hope to keep doing it once things get back to normal.
Well, there's a lot of great singers out there that I probably only play a few chords. So, you know, you don't have to learn too much. I'm not a guitar expert. I actually have a mandolin that I got for like Christmas, and I don't know if it was year 2000 or 1999, but I was so excited to get it, spent a little bit of time with it, got to pick out a couple tunes, but haven't picked it up in well over a decade. So I think you should continue on with the guitar. And you obviously don't have a 1 and 3 year old to even like pick up a guitar, because that to me, I just don't have the time at the moment.
It's just not even part of your possibilities at this phase in your life.
No, we're trying to finish up a upstairs part of a garage that we had built, and my wife started a garden. I was going to compete with her to see if I could do a better job, but I'm such a slacker that I haven't really gotten out there and done anything in the garden yet.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool quarantine projects.
So let's discuss the phase one policy that Cooper has put out, or he said, is it Friday at noon that starts, Leah?
Friday at 5 p.m., May 8th.
Friday at 5 p.m. What does this entail? What are the changes from just now to phase one? How does that differ for North Carolinians across the state? What are the big changes that they can see? I know it's confusing for some because I see a lot of the dialogue and debate on social media what this actually means.
Yeah, so right now we have a stay-at-home order, right? And basically, phase one is one of three in the governor's reopening plan for the state. And phase one, we still have a stay-at-home order, but the stay-at-home order is changing to be a little bit less restrictive. And so he's getting rid of the essential business, non-essential business dichotomy, which I think is really useful for him to get rid of that because, you know, we've seen out there all businesses are essential if they put food on the table. And I agree with that. So he's getting rid of that. So that means that certain retail businesses can open. Now, there still is a list of those that can't open, like salons, gyms, barbershops, those kind of things. Parks and trails can reopen. And then restaurants will have to continue takeout and delivery. They cannot reopen their dining area. And gatherings are still limited to 10 people. But now gathering outdoors is allowed if you do social distancing. And that's actually a really big one because it has implications for worship services. So now churches can choose to do outdoor worship services if they want of greater than 10 people if they all maintain social distance.
So you brought up the important aspect of churches, and I think there's several lawsuits, groups at least that have banded together on religious liberty for Cooper's shutdown of churches. And of course, most churches, in saying that, most churches are fine with complying. I mean, certain, they look at the civil authority and are fine submitting to the civil authority for most denominations out there under the banner of Christianity in America. But do you see any concerns? I mean, I think that is one of the hard things sometimes when you're just out shopping and you see people packed in at some places and you wonder if there should have been a little bit more leeway for houses of worship. Because I know that, you know, Civitas reported and others reported on some churches that were trying to defy the orders and were shut down. Wake County along the seacoast in eastern North Carolina. So what are your kind of initial thoughts about that? Is you think it'd be wise to maybe speed up these procedures when it comes to churches, or is Cooper handling that about right?
Yeah, I think that you make a perfect point in that people are just frustrated with the hypocrisy of it. And I think that's the case with churches. I think that's the case with a lot of these other restrictions where it just kind of seems arbitrary. Another one that comes to mind is the beaches. So certain beaches are opening back up, but you can't sit down. You have to walk. So you can't bring like a cooler or a towel or anything to just be stationary on the beach, but you can go there if you walk. Well, think about if you're on the beach, you're not going to go sit within 6 feet of a person you don't know anyway. That'd be weird. Like, no one does that. So when you're walking, you're more likely to talk to people and stuff. So it's just arbitrary, these things. You see people say, oh, so the virus, can't go front to back, but it can go side to side, because social distancing in the stores, sometimes they'll have 6 feet laid out in one direction, but not another. So just stuff like that. I think when it comes to places of worship, people are just feeling the hypocrisy of, like you said, with Lowe's, how can people be packed into Lowe's, but we can't go to church and, space out on the rows or whatever, be responsible, wear face masks and have hand sanitizer. I think people are just tired of being treated like children. So when it comes to what the governor is doing, I think he was very wise to include this in phase one. And he announced his three-phase plan back on the 23rd of April, so several weeks ago. And that was not included in the phase one plan of the outside gatherings being allowed. So he added that in between announcing it and actually putting it into place. And I think that was a really wise move on his part, because people are getting tired of the hypocrisy and businesses being treated differently. So I think that was good that he added that in.
Yeah. When it comes to the beaches, all those people who put in their dating profiles long strolls on the beach, or they enjoy long walks on the beach. Maybe that's a good thing with some of these policies that they're enacting. But you're right about the hypocrisy. What I've noticed in where I live in Johnson County, kind of right on the border with Wake County, is it seems like most people, and I imagine this is statewide, this is not unique to this county, but it just feels like when I go out sometimes in the evening and get in the car because I got to run an errand, that just everybody's out. And I know it's not everybody, but it seems like traffic's back to normal. People are packed into stores. People are going doing things. I mean, there's even been some block parties or house parties in my neighborhood, although not, extensive when it was kind of early in the shutdown process, but people are getting back together and socializing. We've had, hopefully not get in trouble here, but we've had a few families over to eat, people that we know and that play with our kids. But, our daycare has been open too. I mean, they got a special waiver through the state health department, and other daycares have been open, and especially if they have essential workers or health officials, or nurses that work at, utilizing those facilities. So you're right. I mean, the hypocrisy, I think, is just kind of, it's waned with a lot of people, and they've kind of thrown in the towel and they're ready to get back to, I will say, some semblance of normal, because it won't be normal anytime soon. Certainly stadiums aren't going to be packed, and there's still going to be plenty of social distancing requirements and rules at least put in place by government officials. So it'll be fascinating to watch just the recovery, because here in North Carolina, as you know, I think it was May 4th that North Carolina surpassed 1 million claims for unemployment. So it'll be interesting, Leah, to see how fast the economy bounces back. I know Del Falwell and others have said North Carolina is equipped well because some of its savings. So I'm really interested in what your take is and maybe how quick can North Carolina bounce back. Will we be a little bit more conditioned to do so than some other states, even though we've had per Cooper, we've had a little bit slower timeline than some of these other states?
Yeah, so I think there's kind of two pieces of that. Part of it is the economic piece. And when it comes to the reopening and Cooper kind of taking it super slow, then you can say in the long run, North Carolina might not bounce back as quickly as these other states around us that are getting to reopen. And just today I read about a restaurant here in Raleigh that's going to be closing permanently, will not be reopening after all of this. So, and it's in downtown Raleigh. So, yeah, I mean, the effects are being felt. I've seen other headlines from other parts of the state, too, of businesses closing down permanently because they just can't make ends meet anymore. And so, yeah, the economic piece, I think maybe we will be hard hit. But when it comes to the state budget piece, I think there's going to be a lot of work ahead. I think what the treasurer said is largely what we've been saying at Civitas, too, of, you know, we've had 10 years nearly of wise fiscal policy in the state and getting the state back on track from the last recession and then trying to build up the rainy day fund and the unemployment reserve fund for another recession. But what we couldn't have known was that this recession would come on so quickly and it would be really a suppression that government caused. And so really, to some degree, that puts government more on the hook to fix it than just a normal ebb and flow of the economy would. But yes, yeah, so I think they did everything they could in the past, you know, 9 to 10 years leading up to this to try to be prepared for the next recession. But I think that being said, it's still going to take some wise fiscal management going forward because we're looking at around a $4 billion revenue shortfall. That's what the current estimates are from the General Assembly. And we have less than that on hand right now. And, you know, who knows if it'll get worse. And so we're looking at ways that the state is going to have to cut spending instead of raising taxes because, you know, we don't want to raise taxes when people are already suffering. But there probably are some areas we can cut spending and make ends meet for the state.
Yeah, it would make sense to cut spending. And getting back to your point on our kind of timeline of reopening, it's funny because my wife mentioned, you want to go to Myrtle Beach this weekend? You know, that's how desperate some people are to get out. She actually, you know, and it's funny because no offense to anybody's from Myrtle Beach. If they live in Myrtle Beach, she's said negative things about Myrtle Beach in the past. And now she's talking about going down there. So it just shows you that, you know, there's an advantage an economic advantage to regions or certain localities or states that are reopening now. They're getting more business. I mean, I've heard from several people that needed furniture that they've actually driven down to South Carolina to go pick it up, which is amazing when you're talking about somebody in this area. I'm not talking about somebody in Charlotte, but somebody in this area driving down to South Carolina to actually go shopping for furniture.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I actually had some friends that we looked into going to Charleston this coming weekend, and we decided against it because even though some of the beaches are reopened, we didn't know for sure that those would be, and we didn't want to book and, you know, risk it. But yeah, my parents live around 20 minutes from the South Carolina line out in the western part of the state, and yeah, we're kind of fooling ourselves if we think people aren't going into these other states to get the haircuts or the retail services or whatever it is. And then isn't that even worse because then you have people traveling further and potentially coming in people they never would have come into contact with if they could have just gone to their local community, you know, hairstylist or whatever.
Yeah, I need a haircut, Leah, and I'm actually considering letting my wife do it. She sometimes cuts my 1 and 3 year olds' hair, and it's I would say it's passable. So I might actually let myself go under the scissors with her and get her to cut my hair, or I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that there's some kind of like black market economy. If you know somebody, you can get your hair cut. I don't know. You're probably not old enough to remember this, but in the 90s, maybe it was the 90s, late 80s. I can't remember. Probably the 90s. The Flowbee. Do you know what the Flowbee is?
No, I don't think so.
So there were these infomercials, and I think you can get it on Amazon. If not, you could probably get it on eBay. If Flowbee was a vacuum cleaner that actually basically sucked some of your hair out. It was supposed to...
Oh, what?
Yes, offer you. There's you. I'm sure if you jump on YouTube after this recording, you can go check out the Flowbee. So if anybody is looking and desperate for a haircut, there's this thing called the Flowbee. And those that are old enough remember the infomercials. It was like basically this vacuum cleaner you put on your head and it sucks the hair out off your head. At least, you know, not all of it, but a certain amount.
That is terrifying.
It's supposed to give you an even cut.
I think go with your wife over that. Like, don't, it's not that desperate of times yet.
No, not that desperate. Apparently, yeah. I think I saw an article on it the other day. They're still actually manufacturing the Flowbee. So let's transition a little bit to Governor Cooper and some of the transparency issues. I did an interview, which you can find at ncivitas.org, with Congressman Dan Bishop. Of course, he attended the rally protest a few weeks back. And he spoke to some of the frustrations about reopening. But I thought what was most interesting about this interview, and I worked for a congressman at one time, and so when you are a congressman, you're able to get answers to about anything. I mean, you have a not just a duty, but you have an authority in that position to find answers to things. And it's just interesting to me that he called out Cooper, and I know Dan Forrest has done the same thing, and Dale Falwell did it the other night in a virtual town hall, basically saying that Cooper has cut off all communication with the councils of state when it comes to COVID-19. He's not, you know, he doesn't have the agricultural commissioner Troxler in there giving updates about the food supply during his press conferences. It's basically just him and Mandy Cohen running that show. And then Falwell made the point that Cooper's just reading off a teleprompter. And so he was frustrated too that they just can't get information from this governor. And I think that's kind of interesting. And I don't know how widespread that is in other states. I know that a lot of legislatures are looking at curtailing power. And I think you mentioned that's probably unlikely, at least in your piece that you wrote on our website, given the legislation that the General Assembly passed. But what are your kind of thoughts just on transparency and accountability? I know we mentioned that already, but from a legislative standpoint, is there anything can be done? Should anything be done?
I think that's an interesting point because you kind of have to wonder, is the Cooper administration being actively secretive or is it a matter of incompetence? Like, either one is bad. It's just which version of bad is it? Do they really just not know and they can't tell people because they don't know these things? Or is it because they, are actively, and I know a lot of the people that you mentioned, the elected officials that you mentioned are Republicans, and obviously our governor is a Democrat right now. Is it some kind of like partisan hostility? I don't know the answer to that. I think that, you know, when he's been putting out the plans and stuff, people have criticized him for not being super specific. And I agree with that. I think some of his metrics are, he always has this talking point where he says, we're going to use science, data, and facts. He used those three. He can remember right. Those three words, and he always says that. Right. But that's really vague. I mean, honestly, that's so vague. And is it just that he doesn't know and that he relies so much on his team, or maybe they don't even know? Or is it that, he's, like I said, not being transparent because he doesn't want to have to. The benefit for that would be if you're really, really transparent and then something doesn't go the way you want it to and you have to roll back, then you have to admit that you made a mistake. So a lot of times for politicians, I think it's easier for them to be vague. And then they can say, well, actually what I meant by that is this, or the details of that is this. And the more transparent you are, the harder that is to do and to roll back. And it makes your mistakes more transparent. So, I don't know which one of those it is, but maybe you have thoughts.
Well, I just think more people in the state and certainly the conservatives or certain Republicans that are just kind of against Cooper from a political standpoint, you know, there's that aspect. But I also think there's people in the state who want answers to, you know, how many of these cases are in nursing homes and prisons? How many of these cases are elderly populations? How many of these cases are people that we can isolate to a greater degree without shutting down the entire state or, having a timeline to open up the state a little bit quicker? So I think there's frustration on that aspect. And on top of that, Leah, they want to know how many people are actually recovering. So I know some of that comes with the tracing and some of the things that he talks about in his press conferences, but people are just looking for answers because it looks like, and this is a good thing, that while this is a serious virus, no doubt, that the survivability rate for most people is much lower than was initially, I mean, is much higher. The survivability rate is higher, was projected what was initially thought. And that's obviously a good thing. So I think there's just a lot of frustration with certain people. And especially if you've lost your job, if you run a small business that's been shut down, you can't necessarily make payroll. You've got workers that are suffering. A lot of these people have relationships. So there's just, you know, people just want answers and they want a clear timeline. And I think part of that too, Leah, was that I think a lot of people were expecting this to be over by May 1st, you know, because Cooper comes out with the shutdown order. And this is not just Cooper, and this is other governors as well. They came out with this shutdown order kind of May 1st, and that, you know, in their mind, this will be over by that time and we can kind of get back to a little bit more of a normal lifestyle. And of course, that hasn't happened. And you've got even some lawmakers in some states saying, well, we can't really open up, Virginia, for example, we can't really open up until we have a vaccine. So it's just sort of, you know, there's some lunacy and some ludicrous talk going on out there.
Yeah, it's kind of not what we were promised to some degree, because I feel like in the beginning, everyone had this sense of camaraderie. We were going to social distance. We were going to make the financial sacrifices and help out our neighbors that were making those sacrifices. But we were told the purpose of this was to flatten the curve, just to not overwhelm the healthcare system. And from all, you know, accounts, we seem to have done that in North Carolina. We have plenty of capacity still. There hasn't been a giant spike in cases. But now the narrative has changed to we have to get rid of this disease. And that's just not going to happen. I mean, we're still trying to figure out, is this something that's going to be with us for a long time, for a short time? We don't know. But that was never what we were promised. Oh, you're going to social distance until we get rid of the disease. That wasn't the message in the beginning. In the beginning, it was, we're just going to social distance to flatten the curve. So it's just a little bit like we feel kind of tricked, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think just kind of hammering on the head, there's just a lot of frustration out there. And your heart hurts for people that are out of work. The amount of people filing for unemployment is discouraging. The stories, Dallas wrote a good piece just on the seafood industry in a small community in North Carolina and how devastating it's been and how they're seeking answers. And, you know, it's just, I think, irksome to most folks. So what are a few steps just on the spending metrics? Because you talked about the shortfall. What do you think are a few good steps that the state can take right now? Because I see, not in North Carolina, but I see discussions in other states and maybe even with the federal government, some people suggesting tax hikes. I even saw a crazy one the other day that states need to increase corporate income taxes. What are just a few good suggestions maybe or spending cuts to help North Carolina recover and sustain themselves, sustain ourselves out of this mess?
Yeah, so our Vice President, Brian Balfour, has written an excellent piece on our website about this. But I think his suggestion is a 5% across the board cut for state agencies that are not health related, so that we wouldn't be cutting DHHS at this time. But then I think part of it is going to be on the leaders of these agencies, and a lot of those are from the Cooper administration, to really rein in their spending. And we've seen some of them have a problem with that. I know we don't want to get into this, but the Department of Transportation had an audit come out this week that where they had massively overspent in the future, and now they look even more irresponsible for doing so because we're in such a pinch. So I think it's going to be an allocation of, like I said, around 5% spending cuts across all non-health agencies would be a great place to start. I just think the tax cuts is adding insult to injury to a large degree, because our businesses are struggling to keep their doors open. As we mentioned, some are not going to be reopening, so we're going to raise our taxes on them. And obviously the corporate income is different than small businesses. But still, I mean, the corporations that pay corporate income tax are large employers in our state, and we want to support them if they're keeping their employees during this difficult time. We don't want to make it harder for them to do that.
Let me shift a little bit. We talked a lot about North Carolina policy, but what are some things you are looking forward to doing once this is over? I mean, I think that's an important aspect, is to stay focused on, because I kind of hate the term the new normal. I don't want to talk about the new normal. I know that we're going to have to, in some instances, wear masks for a while, continue the social distancing. But when we do get beyond this, and it may take some time, what are some things that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, so, well, someone asked me where the first place I would go is going to be, and I said Old Navy, and I stand by that. I like to online shop, but I like to try stuff on. So I can't wait to go to Old Navy. Also, my parents live, as I've mentioned, across the state, and I'm kind of thinking about going back there this weekend for Mother's Day, but I'm having some internal conflict about that. But I'm looking forward to being able to go home more often and see them more often. And then in Raleigh, I'm in a small group through my church, and we've been meeting on Zoom, which is just not the same. So I'm really looking forward to getting back together with them in person. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of over Zoom meetings for the most part. I don't know about you, but I just it's a nice tool, and it's a nice aspect of to help enliven some of your work conversations and to socialize maybe with family members. But I'm just sort of over the platform in general.
Yeah, it's difficult for us as a group with my small group because, you know, we stand around and talk to each other afterwards, but you can't do that when everyone has to listen to the same person talk. You can't split off into smaller groups and talk in Zoom. So it's not the same.
I'm looking forward to getting out on the water and just doing some, I like some water sports. I'm looking forward to some vacations this summer. My wife and I are going to try to take a couple vacations to see some family in other states. And, you know, when you have a 1 and 3 year old, the weekends are just so hard, Leah. I mean, you can imagine with kids that young, they're good kids, but they can be very needy, and it's just a long day if you're stuck in the house for most of the day.
Yeah, I bet so. I bet they're looking forward to being able to go to playgrounds and to the pool, and you know, all that's closed right now. So yeah, I have a couple of nieces and nephews, so I remember those ages. They're super fun and super cute, but need a lot of work. So I know all the parents are probably feeling what you're feeling right now.
So I wanted to read this article. It was kind of interesting, if I can pull it up. But here it is. It's called a Prominent British Scientist Resigned from a Government Panel. Neil Ferguson, the epidemiologist whose frightening projections of coronavirus death precipitated the lockdown in Britain, resigned from the government scientific advisory group on Tuesday after admitting he breached social distancing rules by illicitly meeting his lover. Do you think some people feel like maybe some elites or some people in power are getting away with more than that they even get away with in terms of kind of skirting some of these rules? Because we've seen this, Leah. If you go and on some of these news sites, you've got the picture of people in New Jersey getting billy clubbed because they were too close together. You've got the picture of, or you've got the video of a lady being arrested because she tried to open her salon back up. She was just let out of prison today by the Texas Supreme Court with the support of the governor and attorney general after a judge gave her a 7-day sentence, basically because she said she wouldn't apologize and grovel for opening up her business, apologize to the state of Texas and the judge. But do you think that some people just see a double standard sometimes where you have some people saying one thing in power and maybe doing another thing?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, you know, could be the case. And I know you probably don't want to camp out on this for too long, but I've seen people on social media point out that Governor Cooper looks like he's been getting haircuts, which, you know, if someone gives him a haircut, they could get their license revoked. But, you know, who's been cutting his hair? That's a big question. Yeah, I think that's completely fair. You know, you see celebrities that are in their mansions and they have their pool and their whole family already lives with them or whatever. They're like, we're quarantining together and they're living in luxury and they're saying, we can do this, we feel your pain, but they don't feel the pain of someone who isn't getting a paycheck.
Did you see the satirical Babylon Bee thing where yachts, they had like a bunch of yachts saying like, we're all in this together, or something with celebrities use yachts to spell out, we're all in this together, or something in like the Caribbean.
Hilarious.
I mean, did you ever see the Madonna bathtub video?
No, I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. She actually pulled it because it got such a negative response. But Madonna was in the bathtub, this like luxurious bathtub in her home with all these rose petals and different flower petals floating on the water. And she was like crying kind of and talking about how difficult this whole situation was.
Wow.
But she was basically saying the same thing. Like, we're all in this together. Like, it doesn't matter if you're rich or blah, blah, blah. And it just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So I do think
it's easy to say that if you are rich.
Right. And yeah, you see like some of these celebrities, they're on their land, they're in their luxurious homes, and you don't want to really hear from celebrities at this time. I'd rather hear from somebody down the street who's kind of in the same predicament that I'm in.
Yeah. There are not a lot of times I want to hear from celebrities, honestly. They're so out of touch with reality.
I totally agree with you. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I always worry, and it's not just young people, it's older people too, but there's just, to me, I always felt like our kind of cultures are too infatuated with celebrities and what they're doing. I mean, you see this in the media with all the stories and stuff. So that's one thing I actually hope dies off a little bit after this coronavirus crisis kind of wades into the past, that maybe people won't be obsessed as much about the inner lives of certain celebrities. But do you have any other final thoughts, Leah? Maybe words of encouragement for anybody out there struggling? Because look, you're somebody that you live alone, and at least I think you do. I don't know if you have a roommate, but if you don't, you don't have at least, you know, a nuclear family attached to you inside your home. So do you have any kind of suggestions or tips for someone who might be single or might be dealing with the isolation in a different way than you know, maybe somebody with married and two kids is dealing with this?
Yeah, so I think that's really an interesting, you know, perspective, I guess, that I have and a lot of my friends that are in my same life stage have of, you know, we are in awe, or at least I can say I am, of people like you who do have small children and are having to, you know, spend more time and you know, they're usually at a daycare, they're learning from other people and they have those social interactions, and you guys, you and your wife, are taking all of that on yourself, and I think we have a lot of respect for y'all. But I see a lot of people on social media that have nuclear families or live with families or in their hometowns or whatever, and they can come across a little bit harsh. Like, don't see your friends if you don't live with them, you know, don't even think about it, even if you're outside or whatever. It's just a lot of judgment. But yeah, for some people that live alone, and that can be young people or that can be older people too, you know, if they truly just isolated with people they live with, but they live alone, they would see no one at all. And, you know, just psychologically, that's not good for us as humans. We're meant to see each other and be in community with other people. And yeah, so I'd say just have some grace. And if you are someone who lives by yourself, try to stay connected to your friends, either virtually or outside in a safe way. And maybe kind of have a choose your family type situation where it's the same people you're seeing and they're seeing you. That's kind of the approach we've been taking, me and some of my friends, of like, we're going to have a very small circle during this time, but then we can still see each other, which is good. But yeah, and like we mentioned in the beginning, you know, I've spent some of my time at home working on guitar, so maybe try to pick up something that you've wanted to do. I've also watched a whole Netflix series during this time, so I'm sure that's a lot of people. But yeah, just do things to keep busy and look out for your mental health, because that's just as important.
Before we close, it reminds me of that song by, I know you're a Taylor Swift fan. Isn't she like strumming on her guitar about Drew or something?
Yeah, that's a throwback. That's one of the first ones. Yeah.
that's the only Taylor Swift song I know. So that's
I'm the next Taylor Swift, apparently. After quarantine, I will be. So
all of our, you can find all of our content at ncivitas.org. Appreciate you spending some time with us and look forward to next week. We'll be back. Thank you for listening to Civitalk.